Back pain and stiffness made mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.
Off the Ball Daily, a home for your favorite podcasts from Off the Ball.
The level of brilliance to pull off that shot on 15, like that hole destroyed Seve Ballesteros' career in 86 when Jack Nicklaus won. Literally destroyed the DNA of what he thought he could trust in his golf swing.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
The League of Ireland pod, in partnership with Rockshore.
On Off the Ball.
A league of our own.
Get the facts. Be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Hello, and you are welcome to another League of Ireland pod here on Off the Ball. Stephen with you this week and for next week as well. A busy 11 days for the players and supporters of Cork City and Shamrock Rovers, with four matches in that stretch. Rovers keep climbing with two wins, including that City game in hand, while leaders Drogheda United, St Patrick's Athletic, Galway United and Shelburne all enjoyed wins. The top half all won, and the bottom half all lost, with the exception of Derry City, and the bottom three are all on runs of, I should say, the exception of Derry City and Bowes, the bottom three are all on runs of three or more defeats. Not great, lads, is it? Vinnie Perth, Gareth McGlynn joining me this week. The bottom half of the table, all those defeats. I have to say, losing really does ruin your weekend. Know all about it, lads. How did losing a match as a player affect your week, Gareth?
Yeah, well, it affected my week pretty bad in training, but you know yourself as a player, the people that get the brunt of it is probably your family and the people you're most close to. It's just not nice, you know. You go in, you're in bad form. Obviously, there's times when you expect to get beat and times when you don't expect to get beat. I've been involved in teams that were used to winning, and I was also involved with teams that were used to losing as well early in my career at Derry. But it's not nice. It's not a nice feeling. Now, in the training ground, sometimes, depending on where you're at and the reasons behind it, sometimes it can be a good thing. Remember in 2016, we had the derby, the first game, us and Harps, and Harps beat us 2-1. Now, we played all right, and they beat us 2-1, completely kind of rocked us and shook the whole team. And it was a newly put together team as well. But we then went on a run of one defeat in 12 after that. So it was probably exactly what we needed. It was a kick in the arse saying, listen, this league is unforgiving. If you continue in the same vein, then you're going to get more defeats like this. So it really depends. But in training that week after that defeat, it was the best training that we did all year. We just got back at it. We encouraged each other. It brought us closer together. It gave us an idea of the manager as well. You don't really learn much from winning every week. It's just kind of the momentum's good and you're just doing the same training and the same. But when you lose, the manager tends to go into granular detail of why we lost that game, whether it be the training the week before, whether it be the team selection, whether it be things that happened in the game. So you learn far more from a defeat as a player and as a team.
Yeah, Vinny, did you, like, I know I'm not a player and I'm not a manager, but I know after the team loses, you go home and you're a little bit grumpy and you're told you're a bit grumpy at home. Did you find it easier to recover from a defeat as a player or when you were a manager?
Oh, players, a hell of a lot easier. Hell of a lot easier. I don't know if that's because when I played, wasn't to the same intensity as when I coached, in terms of when I coached, it was generally a team that was trying to win something or very close to winning something, but it was a hell of a lot easier absolutely was. You sort of moved on fairly quickly, within a day or so. As a manager, I'd struggle to sleep when I lost games. Sometimes, obviously, you're under a lot of pressure. People be calling for your head, question you. All the genius that knew how to run Dundalk, and teams like Dundalk 4 or 5 years ago are all finding it difficult now. And so therefore, look, there's a lot of pressure with it, but as a manager, it is one of the hardest things you'll ever do in your life. I'm lucky enough to have experienced a few things between managing people, managing a business, and managing a football club. And the football club is the hardest thing I've ever had to do, in terms of everything. Everybody knows your business, everybody knows what you do. I always said to people, when I lost my job in 2020, it was on the 6-1 news, like, it's head of sport. So that's really difficult experience. And I don't mean from just a pride point of view or anything like that, because that comes and goes. But you have nowhere to hide as a person, and the world has become quite toxic around social media and things like that. And everybody seems to know your business, know what you're thinking more than you do. So it's really difficult when you lose games, because everyone's got an opinion how you should have done it right in one game. So it's so, so difficult. Look, you like to think of management, the highs outweigh the lows, but them lows are far worse than when you played, Steve. Absolutely. They're one of the toughest times you'll ever go through.
And isn't it funny, like, even if you, and we won't dwell on the point too long, but even if you mentioned there, like, you're struggling to sleep, like, that is such an important part of your life, sleeping and getting your energy back up, your whole body recovering from the day's work that you've just had. And if you're not getting proper sleep, that's affecting both your mental state, your physical state. In turn, when you're not getting sleep and your mental state is affected, you might make some sort of a little comment to a player that might, you know, piss a player off, and then that in turn they can have an effect on the team. Like, there's so many little things that can come from just that, you know, that pressure of losing, the lack of sleep, and all the other things that might be offset by that.
Yeah, it's so, so difficult, and it's very hard to explain to people. I suppose you care so much. It's your life. It's everything. Like, I mean, look, careful how open I am here, but I threw my heart and soul into a club, into people. I put a lot of stuff in my own life on hold. As an assistant manager in particular, I thought there was a bigger goal at the end of that. I thought I was on a journey with a manager, and ultimately the manager didn't think I was good enough to go on that journey. Then I went on my own journey, and there was a lot of pressure with that. A lot of people didn't believe that was the right decision, and different bits and pieces. So you question yourself, and particularly when you lose, or you lose, like, even losing a European game, like, I would have been under more pressure losing European games, not for the financial reasons, because the people under the club wanted European success. Whereas when we did go out, you remember going out to, for example, the Dutch side,
Vitesse
Arnhem, and we were absolutely outstanding, and buffer a referee's decision. We got a lot of plaudits after that performance. It's one of the performances I'm really proud of. But I knew that night that not getting over the line that night was probably the end for me, probably the end for what Dundalk was about to be or could have been. That was when I went back to give them a dig out. I felt it was the right thing to do. But anyway, long story short, losing that game, I struggled to sleep for 3 or 4 days after that game. Now, I was still there till the end of the season, and ultimately failed by a point or two to qualify for Europe. That's so, so tough to take. And as I said, it's particularly you're doing it in the public eye. I have to say, I'm going to be really open here and say, I'm still not over a couple of things. You can't get over them. You take them with you forever and a day. You've got regrets. I made mistakes. Other people made mistakes. I ultimately have taken the responsibility for them. I've had to move on in my life because what was said in certain places has become gospel according to them, where the truth is somewhere in the middle, I would say. So therefore, I probably haven't worked in football as a result of certain things and results like that. So, you know that's coming. You know that's where it is. I've got over that part of I'm very comfortable what I'm doing in my life. I'm not chasing football the way I was, as much as I probably love it more than I did back then. But the point I'm trying to make, sorry, is you take a manager now, currently managing. You cannot become a manager in League of Ireland without investing about 10 years in your life in terms of the education side of it to become a pro licensed coach or even on a pro licensed course, because of the length of time it takes to do your sort of all your cert, your B, you have to leave it for 2 years, your A, you have to leave for 2 years and then get on to your pro license, which is another 2 years. And then for one of those managers, bottom of the half of the league, to lose their job now, it's a long, long way back for them. And they'll probably look at people like me, put people like Paul Doolan, like you, for example, not really worked ever in a day since. So it's difficult for people. And they know that deep down, and it plays on your mind. So it's not easy, but we love it and we continue to do it, you know?
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing, Vinny, your experience in the game and in the league is certainly valued around this part of the world anyway, getting you on the podcast. I know you will be on duty on Friday nights down at Inchicore, aren't you, with Jonathan Higgins? And that, of course, is for the St. Patrick's Athletic Shamrock Rovers game. We might look ahead to that at that game in a short while. There's so much going on this weekend because it is a doubleheader weekend. The Dublin derby between Shamrock Rovers and Bohemians is on Monday. Leader Shelburne, as I say, playing against St. Pat's. That's the following game. Shelburne also taking on Galway United this weekend. And Sligo Rovers playing Derry City and Waterford. I'm sure Sligo might fancy getting a few points to let themselves off the bottom of the table. Tim Clancy, lads, was speaking after their defeat, Cork City's defeat to Shamrock Rovers midweek. That, of course, was the game in hand, the game that was rescheduled due to the waterlogged pitch back earlier in the season. Just interesting quotes from Clancy here. He said after the game, when you look at the goals, it's like everyone is looking for someone else to do the work, and that needs to change and change sharpish. We played stupid balls into areas where players are under pressure. It's so avoidable. It's only really a mistake if it happens once, but if it starts happening over and over again, then it's bad habits. If they are not corrected, players won't play. I thought we were excellent against Pats for a long period of the game, but we conceded 2 goals in 3 minutes and the game is over. I'm looking at Galway and Drogheda. I would say we've got players in our squad that are as good as them, but their desire to clear every ball that goes into the box, it's like the end of the world if they don't win it. And the same the opposition box. If we don't see an upturn in that over the next couple of months, we'll get players in who will do it. It's a risky strategy this early in the season. Gareth's taking on or criticising your players openly like that in the media. He has been up against it with Greg Bulger, a real key part of his team, out injured. And also, like, their two strikers who they would have invested in heavily, Rory Keating and Charlie Maguire. What do you make of this strategy from Clancy?
Yeah, well, I mean, we had the same thing last year with Duffer criticising some of his players. You almost got to trust the manager that he knows the players way more than we do. But I would definitely be surprised at that, because I watched Cork live and I don't think he's not getting the effort, the same effort the likes of Galway and Drogheda are playing. You've got to remember, they are just out of the first division. They have just come up. Galway and Drogheda have been in the Premier Division and know the game, how the Premier Division plays out way more than the Cork players. I think it's harsh, to be honest with you. Bulger's missing, the two key boys are missing. And what he's saying there is 100% right. I said it last week when I seen them live. Every time that Cork got the ball, all they did was look for Rory Keating. Whether it was a goal kick, a throw on anywhere in the pitch, they just threw it into Keating and then all the young players played off him. Now, obviously, if Maguire was up there, that would take a little bit of the weight off. Bulger's there as well, takes more of the weight off. These are senior players. So I think it's harsh, but he knows them better and they're all young players. They're all very young players. I mean, getting beat 4-1 away to Shamrock Rovers, it's not... it's not the worst defeat in the world. I mean, it's not a defeat you would turn around and go, oh, I was surprised at that. The Shamrock Rovers are going well. They're humming. They haven't got many injuries. They're attacking prowess the way they played that game. So I was surprised at it, to be honest with you, because I do think they're in real difficulty, Cork. I think Cork and Sligo have got real problems, and I think it's going to be a real battle there to go down automatically. But I was surprised at it, especially Tim being around the block so much.
Your thoughts, Finny?
Simply put, look, I have a lot of time for Tim Clancy. I don't know him personally. I think he's the right manager at the right club. I think he knows how to manage really good young players. But I think you've got to close the door and say what you said. And that's something that should have been said.
What makes a leader? It's a tough question. But this we know for sure. True leaders lead by example. They take risks and plunge into life with determination. And for real leaders, there's a symbol of high adrenaline and high achievement. The Range Rover Sport. The Range Rover Sport redefines sporting luxury with a dramatic modern design that meets a distinctive sporting character. And a well-appointed cabin brings a sense of occasion to every drive. The active noise cancellation feature filters out unwanted sound, making the cabin a cocoon-like sanctuary. Optional PM2.5 filtration reduces odors, bacteria, and allergens, while CO2 management enhances the wellness of everyone on board. Plus, you can curate the mood of every journey with configurable cabin lighting and bring a hint of refinement to every drive with optional 22-way adjustable, heated, and ventilated electric memory front seats with massage function. Build your Range Rover Sport at rangerover.com/us/sport. That's rangerover.com/us/sport.
Back pain and stiffness mean mornings rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.
Behind closed doors, in my view. When you think of the young players that are there, you think the modern world we live in, they'd be reading everything, they'd be hearing everything. I think you close the door and say that. And you say it with maybe a little bit more vigour and you throw in a few expletives if you need to. But I'm not sure that needed to be said as loud as it was, in my view.
So are you kind of saying that maybe he should have gone to the media after that game and say, look, it was a bad defeat. We're down a couple of players. I take my own responsibility for it. I might have got some of the tactics wrong. Just give that kind of spiel. But then once he goes into the dressing room, then he can tear into the players.
Yeah, look, absolutely. Yeah, you've got sometimes the manager, I mean, I'm back to my previous comment. Sometimes you got to say stuff you don't really believe in yourself. Sometimes it's not about you, it's about the club. I'm not saying that's what Tim's done. Sometimes you gotta take a hit for the team. Players will respect you for it. I just think that them comments could have a lasting effect. People, if they win next week, people will say, you know, fair play to them. We got people to do this and that. I'm just not sure when he reflects on them and he has to stare people in the eye and ask them to go to the well in the next league game, that them comments help. When they're in the media, as I said, we live in a world now where it's been thrown in people's faces. Look, ultimately it's a question for him, but I would say if he had his time again, he mightn't have said exactly what he said. Yeah. Only view, he may say different.
Do you think, Vinny, it's timing? Do you think because of the games that they have coming up, this is the time to do it? So he's basically throwing down the gauntlet early enough in the season to say, we've got to get a reaction. You're away to Bowes, you're home to Waterford, and then you're away to Sligo. Three massive games. I mean, they've got to be looking to pick up points.
Yeah, the answer to that very quickly is, we're going to find out. Like, the problem with talking about this stuff is, he's either hero or zero next week. I mean, the relationship with the squad from the outside looking in, if he lost the next two games, was probably broken down, you know. Yeah. And that's what Chairman will see and other people will see. The other side of it, if he wins, you know, people will say, isn't Tim a genius? So we're going to find out. I hope he turns out to be a genius. As I said, I like the way he goes about his business, a bit of time for him. I'm just not sure that's the way to treat young players. Particularly, they went away to Rovers, and just because it's Rovers away in Pallet, that doesn't excuse like not laying a glove on Rovers. Rovers having it handy, particularly things like the set pieces. I mean, it's so easy to win the header for Josh Hoonan's great example. Middle of the goal, that's about desire, someone heading the ball. But I still think you say them in-house, particularly the young players.
They do, as you say, Gareth, play away to Bohemians Friday. Munster derby against Waterford, I'm sure Turner's Cross will be hopping on Monday. So, like, they are an ideal few fixtures coming up for them, Sligo Rovers as well. Do either of you envisage them maybe picking up five to seven points maybe out of those three matches? Or
what I like, and I love listening, I'll not name his name, but I was chatting to a manager last year and he was telling me about these Friday Monday games, and I think I mentioned it on the podcast that if he has got a game that he thinks is more winnable on the Monday, he will concentrate on that and rest players and basically focus on that, especially if they're at the bottom end of the table. So it'll be interesting to see if what sort of players he puts out on the Friday night away to Bowes, because that's a tough game. I know Bowes are down there, but they've got a really good squad and they will be looking for points. They're looking for points as much as Cork are. But Cork surely on the Monday night will be saying, out of the two games, that is the game that we have the chance to pick up 3 points. Home to Waterford. Waterford are poor at the moment. They're not in a good run. They've got them at a good time. If they can foul Turner's Cross, get all their players and get a real reaction out of them in Turner's Cross on Monday night, they'll have a chance to pick up 3 points. It's not going to be easy, of course, but I think he'll be looking at that game. And then away to Sligo, we know how difficult that is. I mean, Rovers have already gone there this year and got beat. So I think out of the three of them, he's got to be looking to pick up a win against Waterford, and he'll take a point out of the other two games.
Vinny, before Europe last year, Shelburne lost just 3 matches, okay? So they played 24. They won 13 and drew 8. And that really set them up. That was the foundation of their title success, because we know how the second half of the season went for them. So far, Drogheda United have played 9 matches. They won 5, drawn 3 and lost just 1 game. Could they do similar to Shelburne before Europe gets underway maybe and mount a real title challenge? They are top of the table as we speak.
I mean, your gut feeling is now a little bit like Shelburne. We didn't expect Shelburne to stay the course as the season went on, and ultimately then they proved us all wrong. So initial reaction is no, but like, in fairness, after 9 games, they've averaged 2 points a game. And I still think if you average 2 points a game over the season, I think you win the league this year. So they're on course for it. It's whether they can maintain it or not is the key. It's just, have they got enough squad depth to that's the challenge.
The squad depth thing keeps being mentioned, considering the players that they have been without. Like, Huey was back on the bench against Derry City, so he will be fit and match sharp, you'd imagine, within the next couple of games. And Douglas James Taylor and Thomas are both still out of action. So, he is getting those players back. You would imagine that there is depth there now. And I think one player that's really kind of, I suppose, impressed everybody and stunned everybody is Warren Davis. Like, he does seem to have depth there now.
Yeah, really. but strength and depth. It's easy for people, for what you've said. I understand where you're coming from, the missing 2 or 3 key players. It's when Europe comes around, it's when these double headers come around and you go into a game with 4 or 5 players, Stephen, and that can happen because as those yellow cards build up, as not being able to freshen the team up on a Monday, I don't necessarily agree with Garrett. I think you've got to play every game on its merits. You can sometimes be the top team on a Friday and lose to the weaker team on a Monday, and it can go vice versa. But it's the likes of this weekend, getting out Friday and heading into a Monday, with three or four players missing, maybe a red card, still winning, but then you're missing five or six, and that's huge for a team like Drogheda. You're starting somebody who's just not right. He probably needs to come out of the team, and you've no choice. You start him, and ultimately then the fans don't understand why you've just dipped below the levels, and it's there the key to it, and that's why I questioned the strength and depth over the season. But then again, just get to the window in and around the top of the league, and he maybe have the strength and bring in a few players and help with Walsall, people like that over in England who know the league well, get to give them a dig out. So we see where it goes. It feels like Drogheda will probably end up mid-table, but there's no, that's just a feeling. That's what I think most people are thinking. But as I said, 2 points a game at the moment, I think, wins you the league, and that's what they're, if they can maintain that, who knows?
Gareth, I think people were kind of saying similar about Chels, weren't we, last year? That they might
egg
end
on our face, Steve. We had
it's just that. I'm sorry, I'm not dissing Vinny there. I'm just kind of saying this is why I've kind of pulled out those stats about, you know, the record that they'd had up to that time in Europe, because it was after Europe, the European game, that Chels started to go a little bit downhill or a little bit wayward in the league. But of course, they managed to pull it back at the end to get to win the championship. So this is what I'm kind of saying is, like, are we all kind of thinking, you know, Drogheda, they'll end up mid-table, they're going to start losing? Well, you know, maybe they could do a Shelburne. Like, they've got a decent squad there now and a good manager and a good assistant manager as well in Darragh Doyle.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, what you're presuming as well, Steve, is the other teams are going to put a run of results together to go past them. There's no guarantee in that either, and we saw that last year. It was almost, they were trying, Shelburne did their best to try and get someone to come and challenge them, but it never appeared. So, I mean, that watching them live last week, I wasn't overly impressed with them in the first 45 minutes, and I'm sure Kevin Doherty and Darragh Doyle will say the same things. They were disappointed. Now, what I did love about them, and this is the thing that's going to get them over the line, whether they finish top of the league, second, third or fourth, is their resilience and their mentality, and it's similar to what Shells had last year. Derry City went ahead of them in the 61st minute and Drogheda did not flinch. They played the same way. They didn't change anything. They remained calm. They knew exactly what they were going to do. They were going to play the same way and they were going to create some chances. And then, of course, everything changed in the game. And the reaction to then going in front was again a mental strength of, let's go again. We're not going to let Derry get anywhere near our goal. So that's the thing that really impressed me as much. Obviously, they have a lot of players. The big thing for me, and to go back to your questions, from Shelburne to Drogheda last year, is the firepower. I think that's going to let them down. We saw Conor Keeley score two amazing goals in the Brandywell. All credit to him. But last year, you had Boyd, you had Jarvis, you had Burt. You had a few players, and I'm not saying, and there's no disrespect to the Drogheda players, but you had a few players that were going to get you 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 goals. Davis looks really good, and he's got a lot of goals so far. I really like him. Is Aluia, Douglas Taylor, when he comes back, is Bawa going to get you those goals? We could hope so. And again, I come back to defenders scoring goals. Your defenders need to chip in, and Conor Keeley's definitely doing that. So I don't know. You just never know. But let me tell you,
the big difference this year, Gareth, is last year Derry blew the league, should have won the league title. Rovers had a year off, okay, and were really poor. And Chels came and won it. The difference this year is Drogheda have to beat, you feel, Shelburne, who'll go close. Rovers seem to be inching back to their best, okay, picking up wins. And Pat getting the same position as Derry, I think they'll go and win the league title if they get in the same position. So that's big difference between this year and last year.
Not really. The things are the same. We're already through the first phase of games and Drogheda are playing. I mean, what are you going? We can't wait to the last phase of games and keep saying the same thing the way we did last year. There's no guarantees. We're not assuming that these teams are going to come good. Now, I agree with you. From what I've seen of Shelburne, Rovers and Pats, they've definitely more to come from them. But there's no guarantee that it's going to come. And as you say, if Drogheda were to get knocked out of Europe quickly, I think Europe will be a distraction. The same way, as I said, it'll be a distraction for Shelburne last year. And it was. And they could sign a couple of decent players. But listen, I think I think they're a long way off from going and winning the league this year. I don't see it, but you just never know.
Yep, Drogheda United support as well.
Nobody, oh, you agree with me?
Nobody thought you could win the cup last year, but you did. And you also won the relegation playoff. And I'm certainly not going cold on your title chances. Drogheda at home to Shelburne. That is going to be a really interesting game up at Sullivan and Lamb Park. And then they're at home to St. Pat's. So two home games for them. St. Pat's as well. Like, that's got like two brilliant games there. Really looking forward to it. Gareth, you might tell us a bit about Liam Boyce. I was on the terrace at Talca Park and I see Liam Boyce scored in the 63rd minute, wasn't it? And then second yellow card in the 64th minute and got sent off. And I was thinking, oh no, has he whipped off the shirt in celebration of his goal and got sent off for a second yellow card?
I think I could have stomached that, to be honest with you, Steve-O. It was way worse than that, let me tell you.
Yeah, well, listen, I have to say about Liam Boyce, the first time I saw him live was that game Vinnie Wee did at Tallaght Stadium against Shamrock Rovers. He came off the bench. I was really impressed with him. I know he's not scoring. That was his first goal this season that he scored against Drogheda United. But I was really impressed with his link-up play. And he's such a physical brute as well as a good finisher. Like, he's so hard for defenders to handle. But his link-up play is very good. He's got a lovely touch. He's got an eye for a pass. The fact that he got his goal, and he said recently, well, not recently, it was one of his previous clubs, Gareth, might have been when he was at Hearts, that usually if he scores one goal, he goes on a run. So it's a real kick in the teeth for him and the squad that he's going to be suspended now for the next match against Galway United.
100% to Steve-O. And you see that with strikers, they're streaky. Once they get one, their confidence is lifted, they put your chest out and they're able to go on a run. But I mean, he played well the other night up until he scored a goal and got sent off. Like, his kind of build-up with Danny Mullen was really good. I think he's more of a 10 when you look at him. I mean, when you look at Pat Hooban, who's there as well, and even Danny Mullen, they are nines. They play in the last man. They don't mind it, a defeat, but it's not their strong point. Their strong point is facing the goal and running them behind and getting on the end of crosses. So he got his goal. He was playing well. It was a great finish. It was down the right-hand side. Ronan Boyce put the ball in and he got a great leap and just flicked it past the goalkeeper. After that, pure adrenaline through his head. Literally 2 minutes later, Conor Keeley gets the ball just probably 20 yards inside his own half, goes on one of those mazy runs. Now, Conor Keeley, we know, is an incredible defender, but he's not the quickest. But he got his body in front of, it was Benson. And you can see Benson making the decision in his head, I'm not going to take this guy down because he's a centre half and he's running back at maybe three or four of our defenders. So his experience says, I'm not going to foul him, I'm not taking a yellow card for this because I don't believe that there's that much danger. And then out of nowhere, Boyce, the adrenaline running through his veins, comes chasing back. And like, he's a striker, no, shouldn't be back there at all. And he just literally doesn't even go for the ball, doesn't even attempt to go for the ball, and just takes Keeley out of the game. And it's the most blatant yellow card you'll ever see. And people are saying that a rush of blood to their head. But players have got to be able to think for themselves. They've got to know that they're on a yellow card and they've got to make better decisions on the pitch. And that's what probably separates most of the players, the top players from the bottom players. It's not physical attributes. It's not your touch. It's your decision making either on the ball or off the ball. And I just couldn't believe it. The whole stadium was completely baffled.
Is it the lad who's kind of like, because he's a striker and he's not getting goals, that probably drove him to do what he did?
You would see through that if he hadn't just scored, Steve-O. Like, you could see through the frustration. But even that you've got to be able to manage your emotions better than that as a player. You can't just go and he didn't lash out, but make those rash decisions. I was flabbergasted, honest to God. I could not believe it. If it happened to a really young player, you would say, right, he's going to learn from that. Liam Boyce is 34. I mean, he's been there, done that, played at a high level, played international football. He's been around the block. And then after that was the end of it. Derry City didn't, as I said, Drogheda didn't flinch when Derry scored. Derry had no answers. Absolutely no answers once they went down to 10 men. They conceded then 2 minutes, sorry, 1 minute after that. So they conceded in the 64th minute, an unbelievable finish by Keeley, and then again in the 4 minutes later, and the game was dead and buried, and Derry never laid glove on them. So there's a fragile underbelly with Derry at the minute. I don't know whether it's confidence. I don't know whether it's a discipline problem. They've a lot of yellow cards and a lot of red cards. I think it's 35 yellows and 4 reds in the first games already. So it was disappointing for Liam. Listen, he'll be back. He'll keep himself sharp and he'll
score. What about the manager, Gareth? Does he? Is there noise up around Derry in terms of start they've had, or is it, you know, give him time? He's only in the door, etc.
Well, I mean, I think there's a bit of the latter there. You've got to give him time. He was in the door late. He didn't get to sign the players that he didn't have the pool of players that the other teams had to sign. It was a lot of last ditch signings. Some of them have worked out. Some of them haven't. But I don't think you can put too much pressure on him yet. Now, the fragile part of it and the substitutes and just I'm still figuring out what the manager, what his style is and stuff like that. And the fact that I'm struggling to figure it out, I would imagine the players are struggling because he's not playing players for 4 weeks. And like Benson's a perfect example. And then he's bringing him on the start. And then he's
where did Benson play? Where did Benson play?
So they played a kind of a wing backs, right? But it was it was strange because Michael Duffy was left wing back, but he wasn't really. He pushed him forward and he brought Benson over to the left. Listen, I haven't got a badge. I don't know what these technical aspects are, but it actually worked funny, right? Derry were very good at keeping possession and they controlled the ball a lot, but they never really created chances. 2 chances in the first half. Davis had a great chance in the back stick and Duffy had a snapshot from about 11, 12 yards. But Derry had loads of possession without any real edge.
So from the outside looking in, obviously seen them live twice and I've watched a lot of their games back, it seems to be some of the similar mistakes in recruitment as they made last year. So I see a great example. You've described them very well. Good player, technically very good, can do a lot of really good things. And you can have a Boyce in your team, but you would be better having Boyce in your team but have real speed and running power in wide areas and play him in it like a 4-3-3. I think they've got a really strong in the 3 centre halves. So I like Khan and Holt have done well for them and Connolly being up and down, but I think he needs to get more people in forward areas and go and try win games as opposed to try pass your way into games. And they've got to get a little bit more intensity in their play and move the ball a bit quicker and get people forward and use Duffy, Mullen, McMullen as your front three. Whoever it is, Boyce can play in behind them. But I know Doherty, a left back is a big loss, a left wing back. But they've got to be a little bit quicker and they've got to sign quicker players. And it feels like the mistake they made in recruitment is going after people like Boyce is just a great example of it, or Thomas, where they're good, technically good players, but it's all in front of you. And Derry have played in front of teams nearly for 2 years now and not got in behind teams to create space for the good players. And somebody's got to get a grip to that in terms of the recruitment very quickly, or else it'll just be for another couple of years. And that's not good enough for a club the size of Derry.
No, and you can see the fans' frustration a little bit. I mean, when the third goal went in against Drogheda, I've never seen the Brandywell empty as quick. So there's an underbelly there. There's a mood that's not great. I mean, I still think you need to give him time. I mean, I said this about when Decky got let go at Bowes. I think if you make a decision to begin the year to get someone in, you've got to give them at least half a season, 2 rounds of games. You've got to see something. You've got to see some sort of structure. You've got to see some sort of similarities. And I'm just not seeing enough of that right now. And they're going away to Galway now on Friday night, right? They're out without O'Reilly, who's suspended. They're out without Boyce, who's suspended. They're without Diallo, Doherty and Hooban. I mean, that's a lot of your senior players, but a lot of your better players. So it'll be interesting to see how that game's going.
Yeah, definitely. And especially with Keane Byrne, the man on loan from Bowes, who's banging in goals as he did against Sligo Rovers last week. Finny, it's funny listening to you talking about Derry City there and some of their problems with regards to getting players in the attack and recruiting the right players. I'm kind of thinking, ooh, he could be talking about Bohemians here. because I was at Talca Park on Friday night, standing behind the goal, and Shelburne essentially ended up playing a back three because he had Mark Coyle playing as an anchor and Ledwich and Sean Gannon either side of him. And all of the Bows' attack was going through that middle third of the pitch. There was nothing out wide. And like, if you look at the Bows team, you had Dale Rooney and Ross Tierney as the wide players. And, you know, they're not wide players. They're not wingers. Connor Parsons sitting on the bench didn't come on till the 81st minute. And you were thinking, this game is just crying out for some wingers here to stretch that Shelburne back three, or at least put the wing backs under a bit of pressure. And there was just no reaction, it didn't seem, from the bench there, from the manager. And they're going to play Shamrock Rovers on Monday, who, as we know, are still famously playing with that back three. And I'll tell you, Pico Lopez and whoever he has in the back three there with him might have a very easy afternoon ahead of them, because I can't see how Bows, unless they bring Connor Parsons into the starting team, is there any way that they can put this Shamrock Rovers defence under pressure?
Like, if you think about some of the best performances Bowes had against Rovers, I think back to even Keith Long's time, even at the end of Keith Long's time, I felt they'd gone in wide areas, Stephen, so they stretched that back three of Rovers. Challenged this Bowes team, have a lot of good players on paper, and to be fair to the manager, give him like a little bit of leeway. Meepo Odebeko only scored after 79 minutes, so they were still in the game. Shells had a good bit of possession in the second half, but weren't like peppering the goal down or anything. They looked a better side, Shells, must be said. But the challenge this Bowes team has, Jordan Flora as a left back, midfielder. John Milton, a right back, is really a midfielder. Ross Tierney, as you said, is a midfielder playing the wide areas. McManus, Devoy, Moran, all good players. But they've got to stretch teams a little bit. Colly Whelan doesn't really stretch teams. I think he's the making of a really good player. So you've got to have your Dale Rooney and your Parsons. Probably why Parsons isn't started. He hasn't been very good over the last week or two. Again, the manager has to leave fellas out and bring them in.
Yeah, but now in fairness, Parsons did have a bit of a knock, but like he's done okay when he's played.
Yeah.
And I do feel sorry for Parsons, Whelan, as well, because it's the kind of striker that Whelan is. It's hard for him when he's got no wide players giving him any service as well, you know?
Well, the best, I'll just put it in simple. If you're Dale Rooney, okay? If you're Dale Rooney only on a right wing, for argument's sake, anyone that plays right wing will tell you the best thing any teammate can do for me is your right back sprinting past you. Sprinting past you because it attracts players, it makes the centre halves drop at 2 or 3 yards, and it just attracts people. So natural fullbacks in that Bowes team would make a huge difference. John Mountney has probably had his career as almost a semi-inverted right winger for us at Dundalk. He did, if you remember, he always played the opposite side to Darrell Horgan or Michael Duffy, and he went up and down at different stages and was brilliant for us in Europe because of his work rate. So he's not a natural right back. He'll do well there at different stages or whatever, but. And the same, Jordan Flores is not overlapping anybody that's playing left wing, whether it's Parsons or not. And he needs to get natural fullback into the team. They have a lot of really good players. The recruitment on paper is very, very good. But for that 1 to 11 that he has, it feels like there's just a couple of little adjustments needed. The manager and staff there are trying to come up with solutions, whether, as you said, it's inverting Ross Tierney, is all of this stuff for people rolling out into right wing positions or centre half positions, or when they're on the attack, Flores does, and they make a back three to get people up higher up the pitch. So, look, Bowes need to start winning more matches, absolutely. But it's a little bit easy to play against at the moment because it's all in front of you. It's not penetrating, not enough penetration passes. And it's a little bit easy to play against Bowes at the moment. That would be the concern. So they've got to get the best team on the pitch. And sometimes you're going to have to leave out one or two big names and play people in their natural positions. So a front three of Parsons, Whelan and Dale Rooney is one of the better front three in the league. But you've got to get people supporting them. You can't do it on their own.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, time is against us, lads. Gareth, we're going to start wrapping it up, but the teams that we haven't focused on too much this week, we will look at next week. The likes of Galway United and Shells and St. Pat's as well. Just a quick word on Rovers, Gareth. Like, they'll be huge on confidence now going into this game on Monday. Of course, they have a game on Friday as well. Don't forget Shamrock Rovers. They are away to St. Patrick's Athletic, which of course is our big game on Off the Ball and News Talk. But they'll be feeling confident going into those two matches, Gareth.
Yeah, you can see they're just starting to hum now at the minute. I mean, we'll all talk about Burke, Byrne and Watts. I mean, Watts passed for the first goal the other night. I mean, you will struggle to see a better ball into the box than that, no matter what football you watch over the weekend. It was unbelievable. That inside channel on the right-hand side, just the way you would have seen for years, Kevin De Bruyne putting it in, and then Green just taps it on. But one of the biggest things that I liked, I was looking forward to seeing Cahill O'Sullivan playing away with Rovers. I liked him in the Brandywell when I saw him live. But you, if you watch it back, the battle between him and Pico Lopez was very interesting. The respect that Pico Lopez gave him was unbelievable. He was on him every time he touched the ball. He says, I know you're a good player. I'm going to give you the respect you deserve, and I'm going to be close to you. And anytime you get this ball, I'm going to be right there. I'm going to be giving you knocks. I'm going to be kicking you. I'm going to be pushing you. And it was a brilliant battle. But again, Pico Lopez, it would have been easy for him to say, oh, it's Cork. Cahill O'Sullivan, he's only a young kid. He'll be a bit tricky. He didn't. He did a professional job on him. And that's what I love about Rovers. And I will always say this, that without that defence and their defence of maybe three or four, the back three and the one in front, that's the foundation that allows the creative players to go and play, and Byrne and Burke to do their things, and Noonan. So I love that battle, and they're getting that right. And if they have that foundation right, that defence and the goalkeeper situation, then they're only going to pick up more points.
And remember, Stephen, real quickly, sorry, I know you're looking to finish. Healy did rested, brings in who? Gary O'Neill.
Yeah.
Like, the strength and depth. Jack Bowen gets 90 minutes in him. Like, if Jack is getting back to fitness, Rovers are a real threat because he's best player in the league. So, boom, you know, they're back at it. Graham Bourke, Danny Mandrew, I think, got injured. Victor comes off the bench. Young O'Sullivan, who's had game time. All of a sudden, you're going, Darren Nugent is finding his feet. He's kept coming back from injury. All of a sudden, you look at Rovers' squad and you go, that's what I'm talking about, strength and depth. Healy's able to be rested. Rested. Yeah. And he'll bounce into this week. Healy's probably been the best player in the league, or close to it, over this first nine games. It's really exciting for Shamrock Rovers what they've put together now. Over when they've been down bodies, they've got themselves right back in this title race.
Great stuff, lads. Thank you very much. Enjoy the matches. Not too much chocolate as well. I want you fit and ready for next week's podcast, okay? So thank you for listening, folks, and we will be back next week with the LOI pod here on Off the Ball.
Back pain and stiffness mean morning's rough.
Pain made it tough to sleep until I started Cosentyx.
Cosentyx secukinumab is the number one prescribed treatment for adults that targets IL-17A, a molecule that may play a role in inflammation that contributes to ankylosing spondyloarthritis or non-radiographic axial spondyloarthritis, two types of inflammatory arthritis of the spine. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com. Ask your doctor about Cosentyx.
I got real relief with Cosentyx.